This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Hi Anthony, it's David Zeidel. I'm standing in for Howard Feldman for today.
Boker Tov, David. Nice to chat to you.
Nice to
chat
to you.
I wanted to start with just a little snippet that I was reading about and listeners might be interested in. And that revolves around the Israeli city of Kiryat Gat. Now, I challenge many listeners to see how many of them have really even know where Kiryat Gat is. And even further, for those who visited Israel, how many actually have visited Kiryat Gat? I'm guessing not too many, because Kiryat Gat is sort of off the beaten track. But Kiryat Gat has become quite a center in recent weeks, with the establishment there of the command center for the administration of the ceasefire. And as part of that, they've set up an office in a logistics center that used to, a building that used to operate as a logistics center in Kiryat Gat. And 200 US Army personnel have been deployed to Kiryat Gat, along with smaller teams from other countries, including the Emirates and various other countries who are responsible for administering the ceasefire. And this has really changed the face of Kiryat Gat within no time at all. Within the course of the last week or 10 days, Kiryat Gat has had a visit from U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance. Kiryat Gat has had a visit from U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio. And all of a sudden, Kiryat Gat has become a city that is really on the international map. And of course, the city itself has changed a lot, with U.S. Army personnel being very visible in the city. Apparently, food orders in Kiryat Gat are off the scale. People are very, very excited with the economic benefit that has been brought to the city. We understand that the U.S. officers still prefer to try shawarma and falafel rather than running to McDonald's to have a burger. So there's been a lot of chatter around about what's been going on in Kiryat Gat. There is one person who has a convenience store in Kiryat Gat. His name is Shai Avisror, and he himself is someone who was displaced from Kibbutz Zikim after the kibbutz was attacked on October the 7th. And those people going into Shai's store in uniform automatically get a free coffee or a free cold drink. That is his policy, anybody coming in uniform. And so, of course, the question is, where the Shai is giving free coffees and free cold drinks to the American officers as well when they come into the store. I'm not sure whether he is or he isn't, but I suspect he probably will be, because, of course, the Americans are very much welcome in Kiryat Gat. The main question, however, aside from all of the chatter and the gossip going around about so many foreigners coming to Kiryat Gat and creating a real vibe in the city, is to what extent the command center in Kiryat Gat is going to determine the future of Gaza. And therein lies a much more substantial question about to what extent Israel is still conducting the war in Gaza, or whether, in fact, there is a huge amount of influence and maybe even control that is being exerted on the Israeli government and the way in which the war is currently being conducted in Gaza from the command center in Kiryat Gat. There's an expectation that there will be more people coming from outside of Israel to the command center from other countries around the world. And so, of course, we are all watching quite eagerly to see to what extent gains more and more substance and more control over the future of Kirat Ghat. But it certainly is an interesting question. In the meantime,
Anthony, just before you move on to that, I just want to ask you a question around that. Do you think it's a good thing that maybe others are influencing it? Because then they can't keep saying Israel's doing this, Israel's doing that. There's somebody else to hand that over to.
Well, I think there's a certain double-edged sword here, David, because on the one hand, Israel still wants to determine what the next stages are in Gaza, and in particular, to make sure that Hamas is not part of the future constellation of Gaza. That is clearly a concern to Israel, and of course, to maintain whatever security requirements there are in order to maintain safety for citizens of southern Israel. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, Israel really doesn't want to rule over Gaza. We have no interest in taking civilian responsibility for 2 million people who are really not part of our makeup. They are not really part of our country. If we have to be responsible for their well-being, for their future, for their infrastructure, for their education, for their health, that is a massive burden on our country that we certainly don't wish to pick up. And from that perspective, it would be much easier for a foreign committee, a foreign organization, whatever it is, to take control and to and have the responsibility for building that up. So I think we have to play this one extremely cautiously. On the one hand, give the responsibility over to somebody else, and as you say, potentially redirect the line of fire towards them so that they can be criticized if things don't go well. But we also somehow need to make sure that we have enough influence to make sure that there is safety for our citizens in southern Israel. And on that line, interestingly, yesterday, for the very first time since October the 7th, the state of emergency has been lifted in southern Israel. It was declared yesterday by the Minister of Defense that the state of emergency that existed since October the 7th in southern Israel has finally been lifted. And that means that many different activities can now take place, which previously weren't allowed. So that's just another interesting thing, a development that we see over the last day or so.
Would that have an effect on people's day-to-day lives with this being lifted, or is it more a token that this is kind of, we're coming to the end?
I think it's more of a token rather than real impact on people's day-to-day lives. But I think that the psychological impact of that cannot be underestimated. I mean, clearly, there are physical things that are different in terms of the number of people who can get together at a gathering, things like that, which were limited up until now. Those limitations will be released. But I think more importantly, it's just the psychological burden of knowing that we've kind of regain control over the situation, and that we are able now, we feel we're able to secure the safety of those citizens in southern Israel.
For me, it feels like, and you mentioned this to Howard the other day, with the last live hostage leaving the hospital where he went and turned the light off. For me, this has the same symbolism.
I agree. And there's so many of these little symbols that we're going through, including seeing the hostages come home, including seeing the burials of those bodies that are being returned from Gaza. There is a certain closure that we feel. We kind of get to the end of an episode. And of course, lifting the state of emergency is another one. You know, seeing our soldiers not having to go into Gaza in the same way that they were before is also another moment that we can just feel that there's more air for us to breathe, that we're not being so suffocated with so many different restrictions and issues that we're having to be concerned about. So every day we feel these little symbolic things, which I think are really, really important. Psychologically, we're a country that is entirely in post-trauma. We haven't had the chance really even to process it. But we are a country of PTSD sufferers right now, almost across the board. Those who've been in Gaza, those who haven't been in Gaza, those who know people personally have been killed and those who haven't, we are all feeling like we're in a sort of a period of post-trauma, and that's going to take years for us to work through.
And part of that trauma is still what's happening now with bodies coming back, and I believe last night another hostage was brought back. Do you know if the hostage has been identified, and how many are still left after this hostage?
So it was quite interesting the way that things worked out yesterday, because we'd been told over the last few days that there were two bodies that were due to have been returned. Friday we were told, Saturday we were told nothing returned. Then President Trump came out with his 48-hour warning. Well, who would have guessed that in the 47th hour out of the 48 hours that were ticking, suddenly a body pops up to be returned by Hamas? It's kind of just too obvious, the tactic that's being used here, just to keep themselves on the right track with the US administration without having to do more than is absolutely necessary, a minimalist sort of approach to things. So as of now, the body that was returned last night still hasn't been publicly identified. I looked around just a few moments before I came on air and I still didn't see the name of anybody, not even informally, that's being bandied about. So I've no idea who this one is that has been returned, but they managed somehow to adhere to the 48-hour deadline, and a body was returned, and I suppose we will hear during the course of today who that is. That means 12 bodies are still left in Gaza. Israel insists that many of them could easily be returned right away. 2, 3, 4, at least, probably closer to 8. Bodies that could be returned right away. And of course, there is a lot of skepticism about the tactic that's being used by Hamas, because they're obviously playing for time. And the reason that they're playing for time is it seems that they might well be re-establishing their control over Gaza, reasserting their authority, and rearming. Now, exactly what the source of those arms might be is unclear to me, whether they're digging them out of tunnels that have been collapsed, or whether they're managing somehow to get their arms from outside of Gaza. That may well be a possibility. I'm not really quite sure. I haven't seen much said about that. But there is clearly a concern that there's a rearming process and a reestablishment and a reassertion of control in Gaza. And every day that goes by is a valuable day that we lose in terms of giving more and more control to Hamas. They are clearly trying to grab back the reins by making sure that they only give back a body to appease the US administration. But the agreement that had originally been reached, that all 28 bodies would be returned in 72 hours, has clearly been thrown out the door. And the US administration are not responding. In other words, they are still trying to keep the peace on the ground. And therein lies the question about what control the Kiryat Gat Center has over what's going on. And I asked the listeners yesterday whether they felt that it would be worth going back to war in order to secure the remaining 12 bodies that still remain in Gaza. It's a very, very difficult question to answer, but that's a question that we have to ask ourselves every day, as every day goes by, and as Hamas managed to reassert themselves in Gaza and potentially rearm and reorganize. Is it worth us saying we need to cut this and go back in and, of course, risk our soldiers in the process, because wars don't come for free? So it's a question that we have to re-ask ourselves every single day under the circumstances. But we hope to hear who that body was that was released last night. And, of course, it's a closure for that family. And we hope that there will be more in the near future.
And one last question for you. Your gut feel, obviously you don't have a crystal ball, but do you see the ceasefire holding continuously, or do you think that there will be a break in the ceasefire at some stage?
Well, I've predicted things incorrectly up until now when I thought that all the 20 hostages who are alive wouldn't be released. So I definitely am not right when I try to predict these things. I think that the US administration is determined to make sure that the ceasefire holds. And even if Israel might be inclined to go back and restart some of the conflict in order just to finish things off completely, I'm not sure that the US administration and particular President Trump will allow that. I think he wants this credit. He wants the Nobel Peace Prize. He wants to be able to say he's ended 8 wars in 8 months. He wants to make sure that that doesn't collapse. So I think that the US administration, and back to the control center in Kiryat Gat, I think that they are going to make sure that this conflict doesn't blow open again. It's interesting, by the way, that US Secretary of State Marco Rubio said that the attack that Israel carried out against Palestinian Islamic Jihad operatives in Gaza the day before yesterday was fully justified. That was supported, and he didn't consider consider that to be a breach of the ceasefire. So there is a kind of a mixed message here. On the one hand, the ceasefire continues. On the other hand, Israel continues to operate where needed in a very focused way, while not allowing the conflict to re-break out. I'm not sure if that's an answer, but I think in general, I think the U.S. administration will insist that the ceasefire preserves.
Anthony, thank you for your always insightful reports.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.